How's it, everyone? And welcome to this AIM episode where we are interviewing Miss Anna, middle school and high school counselor, and she's here to help us get strategies and kind of get some insight into the minds of our teenagers so we as educators can help and parents can help them have a healthier mindset. So aloha in mind starts now. Well, welcome, Anna.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Risa.
Of course. This is exciting. I told you I was like thinking, I'm like, I need another guest, but I need someone who's genuinely like trying to do stuff for like students. Mm-hmm. And I'm going through my head mentally and I'm like, Anna came to mind because you have this Bionics program, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And you're just so active on campus and the students know that they can go to you. So I'm like, I have to have you on here.
I love that.
But before we go on anymore, tell us or the audience a little bit more about yourself and, you know, things you do for fun and, you know, where you grew up.
How much time do we have? I'm born and raised here on Oahu. I'm from the west side of the island.
Okay.
Specifically Waipahu. I went to Waipahu Elementary School, Waipahu Intermediate, Waipahu High School. So very proud to be from Waipahu and nice. Born and raised here. What do I like to do? I like to spend time with my family and my friends. I have a 7-year-old. He's very active and vibrant and awesome. And I've been married for 15 years to my husband, Anthony. We celebrate 15 years this November. Wow. Cannot believe that.
Time flies.
And believe it or not, I like to just lounge sometimes and just watch a ton of TV when I have the time.
Well, there's a lot of good TV out, right?
Too much. I'm glad I don't do it every day because there's not enough time. But when I can, I will sit.
Yeah, there's a lot of great shows out. I mean, yeah. And you know, Dr. Yamoto, he talks about mind wandering sometimes. We just need to just veg out and let our mind wander, right?
I love it. Into these great stories.
Yeah. Well, great.
Yeah.
All right. So at Aloha in Mind, I want to remind our listeners, our audience, that mindfulness is being present in the moment with family, friends, students, colleagues, coworkers, wherever you're at, being present in the moment when you're driving. Mm. And, you know, we chatted a little bit about why we're doing this and why we want to reach the parents and educators and adults first. Because I always tell my audience, you know, when you go in the airplane, and they say, okay, whenever there's an emergency, you have to put your oxygen mask on. Put it on you first.
Yes.
And then put it on, you know, whoever it is you're taking care of. Mm-hmm. So in order for us to pass on these mindfulness skills, we have to, like, be practitioners ourselves. We have to, like, almost be experts in it.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. Awesome. But what I like to do to start off the podcast with our guest is showing different strategies of mindfulness. And one of them is gratitude.
Okay.
And so, and I tell my students this at 8 a.m. too, like, what has been the best part of your day? So Anna, it's still morning time when we're recording this. Mm-hmm. And what can you tell us, like, has been the best part of your day so far?
I think the best part of my day so far is that I was able to get my heart pumping.
Nice. Okay.
So I really value I don't mean to put myself down, but I'm not the fittest or, you know, health has just been, it's not about working out. It's about being healthy because of my son. And now that he's at an older age, I can like run around with him now than I used to before. So I'm so grateful for just being able to be active and do a physical activity for more than an hour.
And what do you do for more than an hour?
Well, believe it or not, I wake up every day at 4:30 before I head to school, and I work out for at least 30 minutes.
That is phenomenal.
It's insane. I mean, it's like my coffee before my coffee.
I love that.
Yeah, 30 minutes of that, not every day, at least 5 to 6 times a week. So I do that, and I either do cardio or I do weightlifting.
Wow.
And then I
You're my hero right now.
This is from COVID. I'm not even kidding.
Wow, okay.
And so now I do a martial arts class every Saturday morning, which I just not came from. Just
watch
from.
Out.
Yeah. And we did some boxing. So today I was hitting some mitts with some gloves. And oh my God. And it was a crazy week at work, let me tell you.
You know, there's weeks like that.
There's crazy weeks, yeah. So it was fun. It's just, nice. I'm so grateful to be able to.
I really admire that. I mean, a long time ago, I used to do the same. And I've been trying so hard to
get back.
To get up. Because, you know, we... Yeah, almost 2 years ago.
That's, oh my, that's so fast. Yeah,
but they're always our babies, right?
Yeah, right, right.
But I've been trying to get back into that because, you know, and I'm going to be honest, I always give myself the excuse like, oh, I have such a far commute. So do you, right? So I am like blown away. Yeah. I am motivated now. If Anna can do it, Risa can do it.
You have to. It's all about discipline.
It is.
It really is. It is.
Another part of mindset and mindfulness, right?
And the truth is, as mothers, we can't come home after a long day and do the workout because we're being mothers when we get home.
I mean, I try sometimes and I'm like, really tired.
I don't like it. Yeah. It's hard. Used to be a night person. I never used to wake up early, but.
That's again, awesome.
It's all discipline. Yeah.
So, okay. So you value your exercise.
I do.
All right. I like that. Yeah. And, you know, mindfulness, its simple definition is being present in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone kind of interprets it their own way. So what is it to you, or what does it look like to you in your life?
Being present or mindfulness? To be honest, I feel like I don't specifically call it mindfulness. I'm in prayer a lot.
I love that.
I, on my way to work. Sometimes I'm tested, you know, on the road. Yes, and yes. I have to say, thank you, Jesus, for not letting me hit that car. That car hit me.
Right.
I do the rosary instead of listening to music, or I do the rosary on the way to work 3 times a week.
Amazing.
I used to do it daily, but I like to listen to music. Music is my thing too. But I'm always find myself in prayer, even if it's as short as thank you or come, Holy Spirit, come. And
it is. It's that alone time with your creator.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So we're going to deep dive into the questions here.
Let's.
So I want to know, being a counselor is not an easy job. Being a teacher is not easy, but I think you guys have it like a little heavier. So I want to know, like, what inspired you to like say, I want to be a counselor one day and this is what I'm going to do.
Well, not funny story, but you know, when I was a sophomore in high school back in the 90s, you know, they used to have the paper surveys that would give you your career options,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was the little booklet.
I don't want to date myself. Yes, yeah, exactly.
I know.
So when I did that my sophomore year, it said that my number one career would be a psychologist. And
really?
Not to joke around, Risa. I had no idea what a psychologist was. I couldn't even spell psychologist.
It's a hard spell.
It is hard. But thankfully, they gave a little read, right? So I read. And I realized that I was that friend that all my friends would come to. And I was just always there for my friends and for people.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I started working in the school setting. I did AmeriCorps. I don't know if you know what AmeriCorps is. It's like a domestic Peace Corps where you serve for a year.
Oh, okay.
And I ran a reading program in Northern California near the Bay Area. My first real, true in-school setting type of position. And this was after college, after my bachelor's. And I realized, wait a minute, because I was on my way to being a, you know, marriage family therapist. That's probably what I was supposed to be, right?
Okay.
I have a degree in psychology, so I did that for a year. And in this setting, I realized, wait a minute, I have a gift to work with students.
I see.
And at that time, it was elementary school students, and I was working with middle school students at an after-school program during college. And, you know, I have this personality where I'm very fun.
You are.
I'm very fun. I mean, that's one of my strengths, I think. And that's when I put that together. Like, what can I do where I can marry being in a school setting and do what I think I'm meant to do. Yeah.
Exactly.
And ta-da, school counseling.
Great story.
Yeah.
And so, you're a superstar at it. So.
Oh, thanks.
Awesome. What a great story.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know too much about the life of a counselor, kind of give us like a general based on all. Well, I forgot to ask, how many years have you been a counselor?
Well, I've been a licensed school counselor for the state for, oh my gosh, since 2007. Do the math. What is that? Along 16, 17 years.
Wow.
So I've been licensed since then, but I was actually an elementary school teacher.
Oh, wow.
I taught second grade
for
almost
10
years and
really?
Did some counseling in the school that I was at.
Wow.
That was a lot of fun. I always tease that I never went beyond second grade because that's the content I can handle. I would never be able to do your job, just saying. But it wasn't until I got to my current school is when I was a full-time counselor. So I've been doing that for almost 10 years.
So you've been in the educational field for a while.
Almost. That's fantastic. 19 years this year.
Wow. Crazy. Congratulations.
Thanks. I just dated myself, but that's okay.
It's okay. I date myself all the time. It's like, okay, you know how old I am. Like, get over it.
Right.
We got to age. We're going to age gracefully.
Right. But the students keep us young, right?
Oh, they sure do. Yeah. They sure do. Teaching me all kinds of lingo. I'm like, what does that mean? Who is that? They laugh at me. But hey, I learned stuff.
I love it.
But so, okay. So you've been around this field for a while. What does a typical day look like for a counselor?
Depends on the day. Now, you know, I pride myself with trying to stay organized. I usually have an idea of the students I want to see, the lessons or sessions that I want to do. So within a week's time, I can plan. You know, okay. I'm going to see the student, especially if it's like grade checks or whatever academic things. I have it planned. But some days you just never know what's going to walk through the door. You don't know what kind of crisis is going to happen, going to happen, what teacher is going to need you, what administrator is going to throw at you.
I'm like, Anna, are you busy?
You're so quick. I know. We need to start using that teacher referral form. But we mentioned it once.
And she always takes me too. She's the best.
I know. Well, you're not the only one. You know, because I tell myself, like, I'm not like, we're colleagues, right?
Right.
But at the same time, you support the students. I support the students. Right. We're working together.
We're a team.
For the students. So that's how I see you all. Like,
yeah.
If you need me, there's a reason.
Yeah,
not
because
you just want to waste my time. That's definitely not it. So, but I think through the years of my experience, the more I'm working with students directly, the crisis decreases.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, obviously, there's moments.
So frequency matters.
Yes.
Okay.
It's because of the skills that we're hopefully, I'm saying that we're teaching our students.
Mm-hmm.
There's more adults that they are able to connect with rather than just a counselor.
Like a little network.
Yes.
Okay.
So throughout my years, I've noticed that. But yes, of course, there's just moments where, you know, as a counselor, I have to deal with it. And I cannot plan those. Those days, I have to just be
just
flexible.
Have to go with it. And going with that, I know, you know, for the audience, if you haven't worked in a school setting, but kids are humans. Yeah. Like, they're dealing with stuff in their lives. And we never know what the students are going through, what kind of day they're having. And, you know, we have to be there for them, not just academically, but socially.
For sure.
So on those days, you said, when, like, stuff is going down and students need your help, like, when a student comes in emotionally charged, like, I'm going to be honest, I don't always know how to handle it other than like, okay, like take some deep breaths. Yeah. But you're the professional in that field. So how do you help someone who comes in who's either really angry or really upset and they're just like caught in that mindset?
Believe it or not, the first thing I say is thank you for being here. I'm glad you came here.
Oh, okay.
Because I want them to know that coming to me is what I would want, you know, because I mean, it's better than doing something else, I guess you could say. So I thank them, and then I try to just check on their just their personal needs. Like, do they need water? You know, kind of give them that safe
basic
space.
Human needs.
Yes, very basic human needs.
Okay.
Take a deep breath. Here, come. Let's close the the blinds. And especially if they're hysterically crying, I'm not going to go right into talking.
That makes sense.
We have to be able to get them to a place where they're ready to
a safe environment, a safe space, for sure.
That's what I do. Sometimes I'll provide some mandalas for them to color.
Okay.
I'll give them some fidgets to just, I have a, I use the term actually, I have a damn it doll. So kids are super angry. I'm like, here, you know what to do with this. And they're just like slamming on the ground, stepping on it. But that's what it's meant for.
Hey, like you said, it's better that than other things, right?
Yeah. So we take care of those needs first and just make sure that they're,
I have never thought of that. Like, just the basic human needs, that rawness to be safe and to fulfill, like, okay, like, I need water. I need it to be a little dark so I can, like, calm down.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's good strategies. And obviously, I can't do that in the classroom. No. So that's why
we're there.
We help. Yeah. Yes, you guys help. Nice. So I know for me as an educator, every year, and I've told my audience this and other colleagues, it seems like mental health is on the decline. And I correlate it with the higher use of or the higher exposure with technology. And I don't want to be the person who says technology is the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there needs to be more balance. So that's the correlation I've noticed. I don't know from your side, the counselor side, is there something, a common denominator or a pattern that you see that is like been the hurdle every year for these students?
I 100% agree with you. Mm-hmm. And I've started my career where, you know, social media was already present. Mm-hmm. But I've seen how much it has increased as far as feeding our students' anxiety, their stress, mm-hmm. their self-image. Like, it's sad, you know?
It is.
And I'm still, as a counselor, trying to learn how to, you know, use it as a positive tool.
Right.
You know, one of my get-to-know-you questions are, so what's on your TikTok feed? You know, like,
I like that.
Let's guess what your TikTok feed is. And, you know, they don't tell the truth. You can be like, oh, it's all about these memes about school and, you know, makeup artists. But let's be honest. Sometimes that's not the only thing that shows
up. Of course, yeah.
Because of that. What is
feeds are very revealing.
It is.
Because those algorithms pick up on it.
Algorithms,
everything.
That's what they're called. Yes, it's insane. But I don't know if there's I don't know how to handle it as a counselor, but it's definitely a contributor to their mental health.
Yeah, I mean, I try and I know the students probably hate me for it, but my room is like no cell phone zone.
Yeah.
And my arena is a little different than yours. I'm like academics. Yeah. I'm like, you're here to learn. Like, mm-hmm. let's be here for your peers and stuff.
For sure.
So I hope that carries on for them. Like, mm-hmm. I don't need my phone mm-hmm. to be on or with me all the time. I know a few teachers have like little like baskets, like leave it in there, you know, unless it's an emergency. But you may, like you said, you may need it like for connections, but it's hard. I think it's a lot about balance.
It is.
It's good to hear that you say that too, because sometimes I wonder like, am I just like, you know.
No, and that's good, because sometimes we advise students to disconnect. We come to that's denominator true. That it's this social media post that's connecting you to that person mm-hmm. that's hurting you. Mm-hmm. So what do you need to do? Block.
I see.
You know, delete the app for at least a week, or, you know, disconnect.
Do you think they really do it, that they block or delete the
app?
Well,
that's what's good about counselors. We do accountability checks and we just make sure.
Nice.
And you know, they're not always successful. You know, sometimes they fail, but it's okay. Like mm-hmm. as long as we tried.
Right.
You know.
Or get the exposure.
Absolutely.
Like, this is what you can do. Yeah. And hopefully that it sticks, right?
Right.
You know, something I forgot to mention with your daily schedule. I know you've mentioned, is it minute check-ins or?
Minute meetings.
Minute meetings. Yes. Can you tell us like what that is?
Yeah, so I learned that through the American School Counseling Association National Conferences. It's just basically connecting with a student and asking them a series of questions just to get to know them. Mm-hmm. So I do it in the beginning of the year and at the end of the year.
Okay.
And it's just a Likert scale. How are you feeling today? 1 to 10.
Oh, okay.
How are you feel about your family, friends, school, mm-hmm. yourself? And then I also collect data as far as what kind of guidance lessons they would like to learn about for the school year.
Nice.
So that's how I collect my data.
Oh, I like that.
You know, and what's interesting is from the last few years, with me, they try to stay focused on the academics because mm-hmm. that's what they think I want to hear.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out as a counselor how to change those questions to make them really tell me that there's other topics that they would like to learn. So,
right.
But that's one thing that I do with the minute meetings. It's great. I get to connect with every single student.
I think, you know, for them, it's probably more approachable
yeah.
because they're not like, oh, I have to sit with the counselor
right.
what am I going to say? It's like a minute meeting. Okay, I can, anyone could do that, right?
Right,
I know
totally.
For me, it would be less intimidating if I had to check in with someone.
Totally. And especially for the new students that I get, because I get new students every year. I get a bunch of new ninth graders that come in. And of course, I have my returning students that go over the minute. And I'm like, cutting you off right now. We're moving
on. You're like, thank you, next.
I know. But I love it because they just, you know, it's a time to connect with them as well.
And that's great, too, because then they know, okay, Miss Anna, like, I can go to her.
Mm-hmm.
I know where her office is now. Mm-hmm. I know her face.
Yeah.
And it's, like, not so intimidating, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, the counselor. Mm-hmm. Or, like, what's the word? like not forbidden, but a scary place. Yeah. You know, it's welcoming. Yeah. You're here for them.
Let's not forget. I mean, yes, sometimes I am involved in some discipline. And that's true. Not that that's I'm true. The disciplinaire.
But you're in the process.
But I'm in the after, or sometimes the one before, where I have to collect information for.
Like a reporter.
Because, yeah, the students are more comfortable with me rather than talking to our administrator. So I get the information. But I'm very, one thing I pride myself is I'm very transparent with our students.
That's good.
I always tell them why. Mm-hmm. If I'm about to, you know, take a next step, if I have to mandate report something, I always tell them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to call so-and-so, blah, 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 let so-and-so know. Even though they don't like it, they know what's coming.
Exactly. Yeah. Transparency, that's a good skill to teach too, to model for them.
Yeah.
Perfect. So talking about like getting your new students, that kind of caught my ear. Mm-hmm. Your new students, I know you just had a little event hosted by your Bionics program. Yeah. Can you tell us what is Bionics?
So Bionics stands for Believe It or Not, I Care. Mm-hmm. And I learned about this through, again, ASCA, ASCA conference. And when I learned about the program, it's national based. Mm-hmm. And the purpose at some schools is because there's a high level of suicide and suicidation rates in their school community. And that's not so much really, it happens, but not such a big thing at our school. However, what I notice is that every student deserves to connect and belong.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're at a school that, you know, that's really important to keep enrollment and whatnot. So when we decided to finally launch it, because it was a dream I've had for actually several years.
Really?
So last year was the first year we launched the program. But again, Bionic stands for Believe It or Not, I Care. Mm-hmm. And it's student-led.
I love that.
Yeah. So the girls that we have, or the students that we have, they're appointed by the counseling department.
Okay.
We're looking for students with great energy. Okay. Very welcoming. And not your typical leaders.
Interesting.
So we wanted to give students the opportunity to grow.
I love that.
As a leader. Last year I had seven students. This year I have 12.
Nice. Okay.
I have one freshman, which I'm so proud for. I told her mom at Meet the Teachers, and I'm like, she's amazing. She's amazing. But we did have a social for our new students, and we played very simple game. We had food.
I mean, you can't go wrong with food at any age.
That's what brings people together.
It does.
We had great food and prayer. And it was short. I feel like as we were debriefing with it, we could have had a longer session. But our students are just so like, wait, why are we here? Just to have fun? Wait, what? What, Mrs. Misher? Are we going to, you know?
Right.
Just eat and play a game? Like, why? And I mean, they could not learn about our team within the 30 minutes that we were together. But I think that the experience hopefully will stick with them. And
that's
what we did. So we did it with the middle school and then we did it with the high school students.
I mean, it's hard to be a new student anywhere, but in middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. So you gave the opportunity for them to meet people. Yeah. And you have, sounds like a great team. I'm sure they're greeting people all around, you know.
Yeah, one of the things we do as part of our events, if you will, is we do what we call walk and talks.
Okay.
So walk and talks is basically they walk on campus during a lunch period and they pass out candy and they just look for students sitting by themselves.
Oh my goodness.
And so if they see students sitting, they'll sit. They used to have even quote cards. You know, cards with quotes on it, just to spark conversation.
I got one last year.
Well, did you?
And it's at my desk on my keyboard.
Oh, good.
And it says, I see it every day because it reminds me, like, live more than an ordinary life.
I love that.
So, yeah, I still have mine.
You probably even got a popsicle, maybe. I think you eat.
Oh, yeah. I get kinds of things.
So, you know, I think that was just another thing that we did. But that, we try to do that every month, but it's been so difficult with our schedule. But we try to do it once a month throughout the year.
That's great.
Last year we tried. For sure.
That's great. There's so many kids and students who need connections and who don't know how to make friends for whatever reason, you know, personality or the backgrounds they came from. So to have someone just go out and reach out to them.
And that's what I tell the students. I said, by no means are you going to try and convert them to become your friend. Right. You are just showing them that, hi, I see you.
Right. You matter.
Hey, yeah, you matter. You can we just chat for a bit? Okay, bye. If not, you yeah, know, like exactly. Here's a candy. Bye.
At least, you
know?
Yeah, you got a we'll candy leave
you
alone.
You know, kind of thing. If they really give that vibe, right, but right. And I think that puts the pressure off of them. They don't feel like they have to make friends, and because that's really a long. It's a process.
Oh yeah, know? Friendship for sure.
But that moment just of being seen and acknowledged, I'm sure goes a long way.
Oh yeah, I yeah. love it. Yeah. All right, Anna. So. You spend a lot of time with these kids. You have a lot of years, year-round with these students. I think, from what I've seen with my son, and maybe you could say the same, like, and we see it too with our students, kids act differently than they do sometimes or most times at home than they do at school.
For sure.
So as a parent, I would like, what is the insider, like, advice or feedback you could give us to like not so much be like not that we don't know our kids but to just better understand our kids and better connect yeah. to them.
Yeah. So this is actually advice I do give parents because I get that question a lot.
Oh, okay.
I get the they talk to you. Yes. I'm glad they do. At least they have someone to talk
yes,
to.
Yes, exactly.
Well, why don't they talk to me?
That's exactly.
Yeah. It. So and especially working with teenagers, the three things I would suggest is number one, you always want to provide a safe space.
Okay.
And when I mean safe, like it doesn't have to have pillows, you know, that's not what I mean. What I mean is no judgment,
no
quick reaction.
Okay.
And definitely emotions are, you know, leveled. So,
right.
You know, sometimes when a parent is ready to talk to their child, they're probably fuming about something. They're, you know, especially in the adolescent years, it's a lot of negative interaction, to be honest.
That's true.
And so it's providing that safe space, saying, you know, I'm here to listen. I'm ready to listen. And just making them
that's
try
so
your
powerful.
Best.
I've never thought of that. Yeah. I'm ready to listen.
Make them feel like you're really going to. And then the second is to actually do it.
To so, follow through.
Yeah. So active listening.
Okay.
It's so powerful in my job where I'm just like, oh, mm-hmm. really? Tell me more about that.
Okay.
I don't give advice right away.
I see.
I don't be like, well, this is what I think, you know. I don't, I can't because okay. they're not going to talk. So if there's always a reaction to something that they're saying, shut down.
I see.
Instant.
Okay.
Yeah. So I listen. Is there more you want to share? Wow, that's tough. Even saying things like, that's tough.
Like empathy, yeah. compassion. Okay.
Wow. Like even just reacting with, wow, I can't believe you just went through that.
Mm-hmm.
Or is wow, that must be hard. You know, things like that. So actively listening.
Okay.
And then the third is just assuring that you love them and you're there. That's even so just important. To simply say, we're going to get through this together. I love you. Just know I'm on your side no matter what. Goes a very long way.
You know, they're so simple, but they're so powerful. And I talked about this with my co-host, Dawn, and even Dr. Iwamoto. It's like, these are like the simple things that we really look past or we don't take the time to stop and think about that are the most powerful.
Yeah.
So you said providing a safe space, like mental safe space,
yes.
let's say.
Yes, yes, yes.
Active listening and then reassuring that you're there and you absolutely. Love them. I mean, that's like almost common sense. I'm like wanting to hit myself on the head.
But
like,
we have to recognize that that's not easy.
That's
you know,
true.
As parents, depending on how we were brought up,
oh,
there's
yeah.
no way we're going to be that. If we were not brought up the way, there's no way. It's more difficult for us to be that parent we want to be.
That's true.
And to be honest, I have three step older
okay.
children. They're, you know, I was a part of their lives when they were younger. And the parent I was with them or, you know, with my husband to the parent I am now with my own son, different. 100% different because as a counselor, I'm able to practice these skills, right?
Right.
If I was not a counselor when I was raising those three, I am now. And that's because I have this opportunity, this perspective.
And you see the difference
I
now.
Do. And not every parent has that.
Right.
You know, they work in a very stressful environment. How do you come home and be, you know, compassionate and safe? And honestly, I come home as well and have a short temper or but we have to give ourselves grace. And when we are aware and have that understanding that this is what I need to calm down first.
You're right, manage our own feelings. And that goes circles back to the whole point of this, like if we can manage our feelings, if we can be mindful, mm-hmm. we can practice it with our children and our students, hopefully raising a new generation yeah. where they're not going through these mental hurdles or hardships. Mm-hmm. Well, they might, but at least they can deal with it better.
For sure.
You know, that's yeah. that's really powerful. Those are so simple, but I've never stopped to think about that. Yeah. So thanks for sharing that.
Of course.
Let's see. Oh, I have another question, kind of school related. Mm-hmm. So going more in the teacher realm, as a teacher, and I know some other teachers, we really try to spend time connecting with our students because we feel like if we can, if the students don't feel a connection to us, they're not going to have a buy-in to the class. Yeah. I mean, I know a handful of strategies. I'm sure some other teachers do, but you may have some other strategies. Like, how can teachers better connect? I think it's important. I tell my students, like, we're going to do mindfulness. We're going to do whatever game we're playing because it's important. Like, yeah. you're a human. You're not like this little vessel that I'm just supposed to dump information on. Right. But what are some things that teachers should do? And actually, why is it important that a student, maybe more on a mental level, connects to their teacher? Because for me, I'm like, I want them to like to come to class and, right. you know, want to learn. Mm-hmm. But maybe you have a different spin on it.
Well, the most important is what you just said, is that if you connect, they will learn. They would want, they want to. Mm-hmm. It goes the same with the counselor. Like, if they don't, I hate to say it, like me, they won't yeah. talk to me. Mm-hmm. That's important so that they feel, not vulnerable, but they're more
open.
Likely to be open with you. Mm-hmm. One strategy that I obviously can do and I would suggest teachers do is to talk story. Okay. So talk story, if you're familiar, is a very local term here. And
right, I've learned.
Yeah, you just talk story with the kids. Like, say a student comes in early and mm-hmm. sits at your desk because you let them, right?
Right.
And you're just sitting there, maybe on your email, and you notice them. Mm-hmm. Walk up to them. Hey, how's it going? You know, like you could that. Even use some yeah. of your mindfulness type of yeah. questions, or even just, yeah. hey, tell me about something good today. Mm-hmm. Anything fun happened, you know?
It's funny you say that. So I try and ask on Mondays, the classes I have, like, what'd you do over the weekend? And some classes yeah. want to tell me every single thing.
Right.
And then some classes, like, there's not a peep. And I'm yeah. like, well, maybe I should say what I did over the weekend. So I did. I tried it. I said, well, what I did, yeah. I went to Costco and, right. you know, we walked around and then yeah. I went to my son's basketball yeah. game. And it's funny that you say that because they kind of like, they went from this to like,
you want to know?
Yeah. Like, this right? is what she does in her oh, personal. So like, yeah. it was humanizes a little more, you. yeah, it was a little bit more connection there yeah. that I saw when I did that. Yeah. Like just talking as if there's someone, you know, there's, I don't want to say not professional, but person to person.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So yeah. talking story.
Talking story. And it's interesting that you say that because it sounds like you do it whole group.
Mm-hmm.
It might be good to do it individually.
You like know, you said, when they're coming group, in and out of the room.
Coming in and out of the room.
Okay.
But really paying attention to them as individuals.
I see.
More so as a whole, because once okay. you get them all individually, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I feel like when I go into guidance sessions, mm-hmm. you know, I already know I've seen them individually, especially mm-hmm. if they're new and if I've already had them for 2 years, you know, I have a pretty good rapport with them. And that's nice. Why I come in and, you know, I do my thing and I don't feel like they're combative, or I feel a connection
that's
with
great.
My students when I teach. So I think that's definitely possible with teachers.
Okay. Anything else?
So talking story and, I don't know what non-structured time means to you as a teacher, but, mm-hmm. you know, providing more non-structured time, because then I just think about the stress levels, and when they okay. feel less stress in your class, they might feel more connected to you.
So
to be
kind
honest.
Of like we said, mind wandering.
Yeah.
Right. Where you're not really, there's not a target task.
Yeah.
So for my, I guess for my students, like I have, like you said, the mandalas to color.
Yeah.
One is like in shape of a honu mm-hmm. and a seahorse. Mm-hmm. So kind of just like that downtime, I guess?
Yes, yes.
A little downtime?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be every day. It mm-hmm. could be, I mean, they could be like, oh, my teacher's thinking about me. Like, mm-hmm. we don't have to do a worksheet or, you know, right. a Google form or whatever right now. Like, but definitely away from the phone. Like, even for okay. me, if I do provide that time, I'm just like, no phones, you know, okay. like,
yeah.
you can draw.
Oh, drawing's always paper, good
you can
too.
Journal, okay. Things like that. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. That's good. So we said downtime and then just talking to them, yeah. Getting to know them. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. All right, we're going to get into some personal questions. So how do you, well, I guess we kind of have an idea. I wanted to say, like, how do you, like, practice mindfulness? So exercise is a big part, prayer. How about, here's a question. Because anyone's work environment can get a little crazy at times.
For
like,
sure.
As an adult, like, what do you do to kind of keep your mind and your body in check when times are stressful or things are going on?
So the exercise,
mm-hmm.
The walking, I do 3-mile walks wow, when I okay. get the chance, and it's just me. Sometimes my son will come around with, you know, mm-hmm. come along with his bikes with 4 wheels, but he'll come and tag along, which is great. Mm-hmm. But I put the headphones on and I walk.
So for any like form of exercise, for
any
you.
Form of exercise,
and for also me. Walking, you're outside. So nature.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
That works for sure.
I love my walks, my mindful walks, then we can call them. And I also love to hang around. My friends are just the joy of my life. They bring yeah. so much laughter and it's light into my life. So just having a good time without the kids and the husband.
Yes.
Just
self-care is yeah. self-alone time for everyone. It's important. For even sure. the kids. Yeah. I mean, I know sometimes my son kind of like, what is he doing? I haven't heard from him. And I look and he's in his room playing Legos and he's right. just like vegging out, right. you know, he's in his own world. And yeah. we all need that, you yeah. know, moms, dads, yeah. kids, students.
Yeah. Awesome. I journal, but I've noticed that I'm usually journaling when I'm upset, which is okay. Like we
yeah,
can do that.
That's a good method, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So you're boxing and you're journaling to get that out.
No, that's it's been good. Working, let me tell you.
Hey, whatever works. It everyone's helps. Different, right? Nice. So part of Aloha Mind too is, you know, when I came up with this is mindfulness. And I'm like, you know, I'm here in Hawaii. Like, aloha is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've brought it up to the audience with Dawn. Aloha is like part of the law here, you know, mm-hmm. like it is the anthem. So I always ask one of the questions I ask my guests is, how do you show aloha in your community or with others in your life?
I do my best to treat others the way I want to be treated.
Golden rule.
Yeah. It just goes down to that. So if I treat them like not good, they're going to treat me not good. I,
yeah.
For the most part, you probably can see me on campus smiling and I say hi to everyone. Like you, even if they don't say hi to me, I'm like, hi, hi, hi.
I know.
You know, I just do that because, you know, everyone wants to feel acknowledged. Like I grew up right. not, I feel like I was not acknowledged enough
okay.
and
mm-hmm.
I make it my point to just acknowledge and say hi and treat others just the way I want to be treated. Really that. The golden rule. Yeah.
I like that you mentioned that too, because I do notice that like you're always smiling around campus, you know, and I tell my audience, like part of the reason why I do this too, is like, I need to like get myself in check. So I try really hard, but there's days where I'm like, and then I see right? you and you're smiling and saying hi. And I'm like, you know, and it's a picker upper to come across yeah. someone who's smiling and mm-hmm. saying hi.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, I feel you. Not everyone says hi, even out in the public, you know, true. If you're going for a walk, true. Oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah. And like they pass you like, okay.
Yeah. I don't do it personally anymore. Well,
exactly.
Students I kind of do sometimes, but no, it's yeah. I like
it goes
that.
A long way, yeah.
But I'm not smiling room. All the time.
Well, the times I see you.
But I'm glad. Yeah. Mostly smiling.
So the
not.
Golden rule. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I remember my grandma saying that you treat people the way you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And she also used to say, like, you say hi to everyone. Yeah. And if they don't say hi, she was very feisty. If they don't say hi, well, that's their problem.
Yeah,
so
totally.
I'm like, I try not to think that. Like I'm just that. Like, I'm like, maybe they're going through something, right?
Right. They are. And they are.
But at least we know we did our part yeah. with that. So fantastic.
So fun.
This is my favorite question.
Yeah.
In your expertise, in your life experience, and you're directly in the educational field, what is something you think should be taught K through 12 that is not taught in schools?
Great question. Mm-hmm. this past summer I went to the ASCA conference and I attended a session called Beyond Kindness.
Okay.
So, you know, kindness is such a a buzzword, right? With the lower school, middle school, you know, is be kind to others, and we just think about actions.
Right.
But one thing that I took away from that training was that to look beyond kindness is to be able to understand each other's differences and accepting those differences.
Okay.
And I see that in, you know, in the school community where, you know, someone is different from you doesn't make them not a good person.
Right.
Someone who has different feelings, opinions, do you know what I mean?
Like viewpoints.
That it's it doesn't mean that they're not a good person. And I've always been, I lead myself thinking everyone has good intentions, no matter what.
True.
Mm-hmm. There's always a good intention, even behind a bad choice or a bad behavior. There's always a good intention. Mm-hmm. But going back to your question, I think that if we, I mean, we, I think there are teachers out there already trying to teach our students, and counselors out there trying to teach our students to learn to accept differences. But we're not the only ones that have to teach our students that, our children that. It has to come from the home.
It does.
It has to come from outside community.
And I've never thought of that, because this is a question, like I said, I always ponder, and I have my answers, you know. But teaching that differences are okay, that's really impactful, and it can be really powerful.
It is.
I mean, with COVID and elections and everything and politics, people have become really polarized.
Yep.
And I think that stems from generations of not being able to see differences and respect differences.
Yes.
So yeah, for sure. If we can, if it's not going to officially be taught, maybe in our own way, we can help.
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, parents like help with that because we're trying to raise a generation that's better than us and that can handle, you know, whatever is thrown at them in this crazy world better than we can.
Yeah.
That's powerful. I like that.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, so we're coming to our rapid response questions.
Ooh.
Again, a little bit on the personal side, so hopefully you don't mind sharing.
Okay.
Something I try to normalize on the podcast and with my students is self-love. So what is something that you love about yourself? Because, you know, no one likes to talk about themselves.
Well, believe me, I do. I'm not kidding.
Perfect.
And I'm telling you that this confidence is not something I've always had. But one thing I definitely love about myself is my humor. Like sometimes it's probably not appropriate when I have humor, but it breaks the tension for me. But my humor, I like to laugh. I love to laugh. And I make my students laugh. My students make me laugh. And you know, my colleagues, I just love to laugh.
I mean, there's the saying, laughter is the best medicine, right? And you do bring a lot of joy. I mean, other than when we're talking about serious things, you know, but like, yeah, we are laughing a lot.
I love to laugh. Yeah, that's my most favorite thing about myself.
The second are falling in the subject.
Don't mind that. But the second thing I have to tell you is my confidence. And this is something that grew over time. And the fact that I am as confident, not only as never mind my career, but as a person, my own self-acceptance and love for my body, my looks, my, you know, my role in this world is unbelievable. And
that's amazing.
I mean, of course I give it up to God, but I think my husband helped a lot with that.
Yeah, you know, there are people in our lives that, you know, help us to get on that path that we need to get on.
Yeah.
And that's a great quality to have, because not a lot of people can say they're confident.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even, I would say maybe like half the time I'm confident.
Right.
And, you know, and to say you feel that's a great quality too for your son to see and your students to see.
And I do. I tell the students all the time, like, I wasn't like this. I know exactly where you're at. Right. But there is a time and place. It'll come. Mm-hmm. You just have to work at it. So
that's great to know your value. I love that. All right. What compliment would you give your 12-year-old self?
Compliment. 12. What grade was that?
12. That's
seventh
like
grade.
Seventh. Oh, yeah. Geez. Seventh grade. That's a tough age, right?
To tell you, I was not a good person back then. I was not. And when I tell students, because I do sometimes self-disclose, when I tell students the things that I was and did, Even I don't believe it sometimes, but I can understand why I did what I did. I see. But I would think I would tell my 12-year-old self that you are enough.
I love
you don't
that.
Have to fake to be liked.
You are enough.
You are enough.
I love it. Last rapid fire. You're going to fill in the blank.
Okay.
Happiness is, and however way you want to spin it.
To think about this, happiness is God.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Powerful enough. God, your creator.
In my life, yeah.
I love it. That's really impactful. Love it. So I guess like in the description, if you want to share your email, if people want to reach out to you, you know, for advice, sure. Or I mean, you did a phenomenal job on here. Maybe, you know,
Thank you.
Will want to go to you. Oh, I know you were a little like hesitant at first and, you know, this has been a great conversation.
Awesome. Yes, same.
And I think a lot of the audience is going to take a lot of knowledge. Oh. I mean, I've been in the school system for a while and there's stuff that we talked about today. I'm like, I have never thought of that. So we want to thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. So
this was fun.
All right, Anna. So to wrap up the podcast, you know, Dawn and I, when she's here, and Dawn will be coming back soon. Dawn is actually, you know, Dawn, she's actually doing some work helping the Maui educators and kids over there. You know, so she's over there giving her heart as she does with everything. So, you know, her spot is still here, but she has a little bit more important things to do. Mm-hmm. And we are proud of her for that and admire her for that. But what we like to do is end each podcast with a challenge. So going with the theme of bionics, like, believe it or not, I care. Mm-hmm. I think in a fast paced world, audience, we tend to forget to connect with each other.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many modalities now, like social media, text, like phone calls, FaceTime. Mm-hmm. So what I challenge the audience with inspiration from Anna's Bionics team on our campus is to send just an appreciation text to someone in your life. Maybe someone who may not even have like a clue that you appreciate them or, you know, that they have that type of role in your life. Send them that text. It doesn't have to be long. Mm-hmm. And let them know, hey, I appreciate you. Thanks for being there. And, you know, give them that love. And you're going to see that not only will it make them feel better, but it's going to make you feel better inside too.
Absolutely.
So that is our challenge to you. Do it.
Great challenge.
But audience, mahalo again for joining us. And mahalo, Anna, for coming and taking the time to have such an important conversation.
Thank you
about
so much.
Mindfulness and our kids and how we can help them. We appreciate it. So audience, remember, aloha always wins, and we'll see you soon. 1, 2, 3 aloha.
Chihu.
All right, that's a wrap. I love it.